If you will, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We will read, beginning in verse 21, but our text is primarily from verse 29 through 32. But beginning in verse 21, we see the setting and the context in which Simeon pronounced these words. He said the words for this song, which is the text for our sermon. So we read beginning verse 21 for context, but our text is beginning verse 29. So give now your attention to the word of God from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning verse 21. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. When it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, and he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray once again. Our gracious Father, God Almighty, eternal creator of all things, you are the only true and living God, and you have revealed yourself to us in your word. You have given us scripture, and you have given us your spirit, which enables us to understand your sacred revelation. So, Lord, now we plead with you that you would give us your spirit and open our eyes to see the truths from your word, that we would learn and apply them in our lives and live here this evening transformed by the power of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are, this is the last sermon in a series on the incarnation that we started in the month of December. And we went through the songs in Luke. Not all of them. We skipped the first one. And we began with Mary's song. And then we dealt last week with the song after that. And now we have Simeon's song. And most commentators agree that these are songs or hymns because of the language, the structure, the poetic structure of the text. But they give us glimpses and show us the response of God's people to the incarnation. And this has been our main idea, intent in doing this series, to see how God's people responded to the incarnation, to the fact that God himself came and became a man and was born, and the baby Jesus in his birth. And so now we come to Simeon's song. And Simeon's song is a short one, but it's very deep and packs a strong punch, if you will, if you could say this way. There is a saying in Brazil, I don't know if it's a saying here, that some people sometimes they behave or they are like dogs chasing after a moving truck. And once they reach the truck, they don't know what to do anymore. This happens when you want something for very long and you chase after that objective that you have, that goal, and then once you get it or you reach it, you accomplish, you don't know what to do anymore. You feel empty, you feel useless. Well, Simeon was expecting something for a long time. But contrary to a dog chasing a moving truck or people chasing other objectives, when he finally saw what he wanted, when he finally attained to the goal that he had for so long, that God had revealed to him, he did not feel empty. He did not feel useless or without purpose. He blessed the Lord, and he understood the full satisfaction that he had just found. And so when we look at Simeon's song, we see the resigning effect of seeing God's universal salvation. The resigning effect of seeing God's universal salvation. Again, when he saw, when he realized that the objective of his life, that which he was anxiously waiting for so long, was in front of him, he blessed the Lord and he uttered these words. And from his words, we learn the resigning effect of God's universal salvation. So first, from verse 29 and 30, we are going to see this resigning effect. What is it? What is the resigning effect of seeing God's salvation? So look at the first things that Simeon says. Again, the context that we read. After Jesus' birth, a time had passed. It was a time to present him to the Lord as a custom according to the law of Moses. So Mary and Joseph bring him to Jerusalem, to the temple, and they present Jesus there, and they offer the appropriate sacrifices. In that context, this man, Simeon, who the text tells us was waiting for the Christ, for the Messiah, for the anointed of God, he, directed by the Spirit, comes to the temple, and when he sees Jesus, he says this, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." And so again, Simeon was waiting for this. He had received revelation from God that he, his mission, his goal was to expect, to wait, to watch and wait for the coming of the Christ. And then he goes to the temple and he finally has it. That objective that he had all his life, the purpose of his life, waiting and watching. He finally found it. And then he says, "Now you are releasing your bondservant." Note that the expression here, "Now, Lord, you are releasing," is actually the Latin title for this song, "Nunc Dimittis." But the "now" is not only a conjunction. It's not just here to connect the passages, the verses. It's not just, well, now this is going to happen. It is an emphatic "now." Simeon is saying, it is here. It is happening right now in front of my own eyes. Exactly now, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation. So Simeon goes to the temple. He sees Christ immediately. He sees Christ. He knows that that is God's salvation. And this is a theme that we have touched on. It is not the main emphasis of the text that we chose to preach through this series, but I've repeated this often. We don't separate Christ's person and Christ's work. When we see Christ, we see the work of Christ. When we see the work of Christ, we see the person of Christ. And so Simeon saw Jesus, the baby Jesus, and he immediately understood this is God's salvation. This is the way of salvation. This is what I was expecting. This is what God had promised me that I would see, that I should wait and watch and long for. And then he says, "You are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace." Departing here is not only moving on with his life. Simeon didn't mean, well, now that I fulfilled my obligation, I waited, I watched it, I expected, and I saw salvation, so now I can move on with my life and do whatever I had planned for. Do my own plans, my own desires, my own purposes. He said, "I am ready to depart in peace." He is ready to go be with the Lord, to die. We don't know if he was an old man. We believe so from the context. Most commentators agree. We don't know Also, or either, if Simeon died immediately after this, soon after this, a long time later, we don't have that information. But either way, once Simeon saw God's salvation, he was ready to go. And this is the resigning effect of seeing God's salvation. In other words, he truly understood that all that he needed, all that he could ever want, and infinitely more than what he deserved, was in front of him, and his eyes had seen it. And so, once you have all that you need, all that you could want, and much more than you deserve, you're ready to go. You're ready to give yourself up entirely into the hands of the Lord. And if it is his will to go, that Simeon would pass on to glory immediately, so be it. If it is God's will that Simeon would stay a little longer in this life, he was fine with it either, because he had seen God's salvation. And this is the resigning effect of seeing God's salvation. This is the effect that God's salvation produces, or should produce, in all of us. You see, only in Christ you have full satisfaction. Only in Christ you have what you need. Only in Christ you have what you could ever want, more than you could ever want. Christ is the full satisfaction, full realization of all your needs, all your necessities, all your desires. And thus, having him, you need nothing else. You need not to worry. You need not to be anxious. You can just resign yourself into his hand. And you can say with Simeon, I'm ready to depart in peace. I'm ready to depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And so, Christian, is Christ your full satisfaction? In other words, do you understand that once you have Christ, you have everything that you need? Are you still wanting something else? Are you still going after other objectives, other targets? Do you think that you have Christ, but you need other things? Or do you understand that all you need is him? And if you have him, you need nothing else. So do you resign yourself to him? This resignation, the surrendering effect, is seen in Simeon's readiness to die. And perhaps you might thinking, well, are we thinking about death on the first Sunday of the year? We're, you know, beginning the year, we should be optimistic and all. But in the Lord's providence, this is what is confronting us. And we must ask ourselves, are we ready to die? Are we ready to depart? If we understand that in Christ we have everything, why are we afraid? Why do we fear? Why do we fear tomorrow? Why do we fear what's going to happen with the COVID? Why do we fear who's the new president? Why are we afraid if we're going to live longer or not? Perhaps we're not as aware as we should be that Christ is all that we need. And when we have him, we need nothing else. But perhaps the reason why you fear death and you fear the future is because you have not seen Christ's salvation yet. You have not seen God's salvation. And thus the invitation is for you. Come to him, open your eyes, and see God's salvation. Once you see Jesus Christ, once you see God's salvation, you understand that he is all that you need, and you will resign yourself in his hand. But again, as I already said, Simeon might have lived long. So this resigning effect is not only in this readiness to die. I'm ready. I can go whenever the Lord wants. But as we live our life, do we resign ourselves to the Lord as well? In other words, are we worried about our goals, our purposes, or God's purposes, or God's will? Look back at this past year. When you reflect about your life, your attitude, was it a year that you trusted the Lord, resigned yourself in His hand, knowing that He is wise, He is good, and that you have Christ, you need nothing else? Or was it a year that you bitterly complained all around? Was it a year that you struggled and threw a tantrum at God because you did not get what you wanted? Because your plans were shaken, were destroyed? Because what you wished for and you thought 2020 was the year that was going to happen didn't happen? And then you murmured, complained, cried. There's nothing wrong with crying to the Lord, with praying to Him and telling Him your frustrations. But there's a difference in submissively telling God your frustration, praying and pleading that He would change your heart from complaining, shaking your fists at Him, thinking that you know better and that He is doing all wrong. There's a big difference in these two types of prayer. If you understand that you have Christ, knowing that you have Him and you need nothing else, you can live this life with this readiness to go or stay. Whatever He wants, it's good for you and it's better than you deserve. Whatever you have is profit. You already have the best thing that you could wish for. Plus, the Lord gives you more, other things that you can enjoy in this life. Why do you complain? Why do we complain? Perhaps we need to look at Christ, see God's salvation, and understand that having Him, we need nothing else. I think that this is what Paul had in mind when he said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because if you have Christ, you have everything you need. And if you have Christ, when you die, you go to be with Him. What more gain can there be? And so, look at yourself. See if you truly understand the resigning effect of seeing God's salvation. But perhaps when you look at yourself, and probably this is true for all of us, you see that you fail to do this. When you look at your actions, your prayers this past year, you understand, I failed, utterly failed. Perhaps you are not ready to go in peace, like Simeon was. Perhaps you still struggle with anxiety because you fear for your life. The answer, dear Christian, for both problems is Christ. You see that Simeon's attitude came after he saw Christ. And so I urge you, look at Christ. Look at Christ and you will see first forgiveness for your failures. Forgiveness that you did not leave with this readiness to go, with this resigning effect strongly in your heart. Forgiveness for having earthly and vain purposes and prioritizing these vain purposes. Look at Christ and you see this forgiveness. You see mercy. You see God's salvation despite all your failures. But don't stop there. Look at Him and you see also strength to gain this readiness, this resignation, this surrendering character of God's salvation. In Christ, we have both forgiveness and we have all that we need to attain to this attitude. So don't stop at forgiveness, but take hold of your forgiveness and take hold of Christ and in Him find strength to live as Simeon teaches us to live here, ready to go. So if the Lord wants to take you home tomorrow, that's His will. That's your gain. If the Lord wants to take you home 50 years from now, that's His will. That's your gain. Trust Him. Give yourself up to Him. In Him, you will find forgiveness and the strength to be as Simeon teaches us to be. And so this year, what is your resolution? Do you have just a list of earthly things that you want to get? Places you want to go, promotion. None of these are sinful or wrong. It's good to have purpose. But make it a year that your priority is to leave this way, ready to go, resigning yourself to God, understanding that Christ is all that you need, and that as you see salvation in Christ, you need nothing else, so you can trust Him. You can rest in Him. How can you do that? Look to Christ. Where? In the Bible, in prayer, in the worship service. Make use of the means of grace. Make this year that you use the means of grace more than ever, than you have ever made use of. Come to church more often. Pray more often. Read the Bible more often. In these things, you'll see Christ more clearly, and you will understand Simeon's attitude, and that will be your attitude as well. And so, the resigning effect of God's salvation, understanding that you have Christ, you need nothing else. And as you understand that, you live according to this understanding, to this knowledge that you don't need anything. You have all that you could ever wish for. You have much more than you deserve and much more than you could ever want. But also, looking at this song, we not only learn that, the resigning effect of God's salvation, we also learn the universal extension of God's salvation. So look at verses 31 and 32. So again, Simeon was waiting for this. He goes to the temple. He sees Jesus. He takes Jesus in his arms, and he utters these words. You were releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And then this salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. So Simeon is saying that this salvation was not only promised to him that he would see it, but it's something that God had promised way before. And God had prepared in the presence of all peoples. All peoples. We often think that the inclusion of the Gentiles into God's people is a New Testament doctrine, a New Testament teaching. It is a New Testament teaching, but it is also an Old Testament teaching. When you look at Scripture, we see that God has been giving hints and telling His people that His name would be known in all the world, that all the nations would fear Him, would know Him. When He calls Abraham, He promises blessing to the nations, not only to Israel, but to the nations. The prophets, many passages in the prophets, Isaiah 42, 6, Zechariah 14, 16, from Micah, that we saw Micah 6 this morning, Micah 4 gives us a great picture of how God is gathering the remnant for all different places in the world and bringing them to His city, to His promised place. But not only in the prophets, in the Psalms, Psalm 45 gives us another picture of this. So you see, this salvation is something that God is preparing since the beginning. Since the beginning, He's been preparing this salvation. And this is a salvation not only for Israel, but for all peoples. So you, Christian, here, sitting in this pew, you are a fulfillment of this promise. When Jesus Christ came, His birth, His life, His death was for people from all different types, tribes and tongues, including you. So you can rejoice in that, knowing that God's salvation, that which gives you all that you need, is for you. Even a person from the United States of America. Something that happened 2,000 years ago. Here we have people from Brazil. We have people who had contact with people from different countries. All those countries, all those nations, they are part of God's plan. I find it very awesome that when Solomon prays, and if you will, turn back in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 8. Because, again, God is hinting at this throughout His Scripture. We see passages very often that touch on the inclusion of the Gentiles, on people from all tribes and tongues coming and being part of God's people. But here we have the dedication of the temple. the place that the Jews had the most, the highest esteem for, the center of Jewish religion. And when Solomon prays in the dedication of the temple, beginning in verse 41, so 1 Kings 8, 41, also concerning the foreigner who is not of your people Israel, when he comes from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and of your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this house, here in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name, to fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. You see how amazing this is, how wonderful it is, that even when Solomon was praying the dedication of the temple, God already had your name in mind. He was already preparing salvation for you. And this salvation was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So it's a salvation indeed that God had prepared in the presence of all peoples. But then he moves on and he says, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So what is the idea here of light and glory? Well, obviously, something glorious, we usually associate it with something with a big light, with shiny and bright. And a shiny thing with a lot of light is glorious. But why does Simeon says light to the Gentiles and glory of Israel? Well, indeed, the whole world is in darkness. Human being, after the fall, is in darkness. They don't see. They cannot see. The only thing that can bring light and take this darkness away is Jesus Christ. And so the salvation that God prepared in the presence of all peoples, Jesus Christ, this light, goes forth to all nations. But Israel was not in darkness. Because Israel was the people that God chose from the beginning to be his people. And so indeed, Israel has a place of glory in all history. Indeed, if you think about it, Israel is probably the most blessed nation from the beginning, because it is a nation that God chose to be his people. But God chose Israel to be his people so that his light could go forth to all the nations. And so glory of Israel, the light to the Gentiles. So when we think about it, we can rejoice. We can rejoice that our inclusion into God's people is something that he has prepared from the beginning. You can be certain of your salvation, even though you're not a Jew, even though you're not from Israel. But you can also pray that the light would go forth even more, even farther. Do you consider how many people are in darkness? Do you think about that? This morning, we were leaving church. We just got into the car. And my son, looking at other cars driving, he said something, all these cars not going to church. His English not very well constructed yet, but his pronunciation is better than mine. But sometimes his phrases are a little off, but the main idea of his phrase that I could understand was, all these cars and they're not going to church. And that was odd for him. Do you think about that? How many people are walking? They go, they come, and they are in darkness. And if it were not for God's grace for you, you would be in darkness as well. So think about that. Pray that the Lord would bring his light further and further. Pray that he would give you opportunities to share this light. This year, not only make it a year that you pray more, read the Bible more, seek Christ more, but also a year that you're more aware of opportunities to share the light of Jesus. People need it. It is the only thing that can destroy their darkness. And it's something that God prepared. But perhaps we don't do this. We don't share. We don't feel confident. We don't think about those in darkness because we forget that God has prepared this salvation from the beginning to all peoples. We think that God saved the good people. God saved the ones we know who come to church, who are from good families, structured families. No, all peoples. All peoples. Note the plural in verse 31. In the presence of all peoples. This is not a wrong grammar. This is purposefully in the plural. So consider those in darkness. Pray for them. Cry for them. Urge that they would come and see light in Jesus Christ. But also consider the glory of Israel. Isn't it sad that the nation that God chose to be his people rejects him? They still long for the Messiah. They don't see what Simeon saw. They still long for the Savior that will come. Perhaps they have wrong expectations, thinking that the Savior will come and give them a better life here on earth. But that's not the point. They still miss the light that Jesus is. So pray for them. Pray that God would stretch his arm and bring salvation to those who reject him as well. Because he is a merciful God. And because he has prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples. All peoples. So, you know why the dog does not know what to do when he reaches the moving truck? It's not because he's a bad dog. It's not the dog's problem. The problem is in his goal, his target. He was chasing something that is vain. He was chasing a moving truck. Once the truck stops, it's not moving anymore, he doesn't have a goal. The problem with us or anyone when they feel purposeless is not only them, but is that they have vain goals. They have cheap targets. And if you're here this evening and your goal is anything but Jesus Christ, you are no different than a dog chasing after a moving truck. So come to him, the only thing that can give you full satisfaction, full realization. And as you see him, you see God's salvation with its resigning effect and its universal extension. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, we rejoice that we have seen salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we have him, we rejoice that we need nothing more. We need nothing else. Lord, give us this awareness, this full certainty that we have all that we need. And as we understand this, O Lord, make us more and more ready to go or to stay. Lord, make us more submissive to your will and make us to resign ourselves into your hands entirely so that we could live this life faithfully for your glory, knowing that it is your glory that matters, that you are to be praised, you are to be worshipped. Oh, Father, use us according to your purpose, we pray. But Lord, take your light, the light of Jesus Christ, salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, and bring it to all nations, O Lord. All those who are in darkness, may they see this great light and come to you. All for the praise of your name, we pray. In Jesus' name.